To a casual observer, Ian Perkaius conducts his business like a caricature of a young drug dealer. He travels around in a van, lining up customers via text message, braving competitors and parking tickets while trying to move his expensive product as fast as he can. And he makes extremely high profits. He's on track to earn $6 million this year alone. But Ian isn't dealing anything illegal. He sells truffles. WMIC's Dan Pashman recently spent a day following Ian for an episode of his Sporkful podcast, which you can hear on iTunes or at WMIC.org. And he joins me now to talk about the truffle trade and why it's unique. Dan, welcome back to our show.
Hi, Leonard.
The drug dealer analogy is something you talk about on the podcast. Were you surprised that truffles, which are some of the most highly sought after food items, are sold so haphazardly?
It is shocking considering how much money is at stake. I mean, this guy, Ian, he's 24 years old. He didn't go to college. He's been doing this since he was 18.
How did he get into the business in the first place?
Well, when he was a teenager, his family lost the family business during the recession, and they were forced to move from a comfortable middle-class existence in Houston to northwest Arkansas to live near family. And that experience had two effects on him. One was it made him very worried about his own business in the future, and it got him into foraging in northwest Arkansas. He was foraging for mushrooms, and he had heard about truffles, this sort of legendary thing you might forage for. One night he ends up at a restaurant as a 15-year-old boy. He's with a friend's family. The parents say, order whatever you want. He sees black truffles on the menu, takes one bite, and his life took a turn right there.
Now, truffles come from not just one place on Earth. France and Italy, mostly?
France, Italy, Spain as well. Those are the areas that are most well-known and where the truffles are most expensive, especially if you're talking about white truffles. But there are truffles in other areas of the world and, excuse me, some areas where the truffles can have very little flavor or aroma. You can get truffles that are more akin to a white potato than anything you would spend a lot of money for.
And where does he get his truffles?
Mostly in Italy. So, I mean, one of the interesting things about Ian, this guy's driving around Manhattan with the day I was with him, he's in a rental car because his other car broke down. He's got duct-taped styrofoam coolers in the trunk of his car filled with $20,000 worth of truffles. And he's driving all around. And one of the reasons why he is able to run a successful business and sort of beat out many of the smugglers and the really back-alley guys is that he gets his truffle from the best places in Europe. It is that the chefs trust him.
But he buys them online?
No, his very first truffle purchase as a teenager was online. Now he has a guy in Italy who he would not tell me who that guy is or exactly where he is. He has a guy in Italy who runs a hunting club. That guy goes out and gets the truffles. Then Ian has a guy in Germany who goes to Italy and buys the truffles and ships them to him.
Wouldn't it be a lot easier if you could actually farm truffles? Why can't they be farmed?
It would be. Black truffles can be farmed to some degree, and there has been some success, especially in Australia and New Zealand, and they're attempting to do it here. But white truffles are the most desirable, the most expensive, because they have the strongest aroma, strongest flavor, and also because they're only available for a limited time each year. And
what's the season?
It starts in October and it goes to the end of the year. So actually New Year's Eve is the single biggest night for white truffles.
Do they need certain conditions to grow in?
Well, truffles grow around the roots of trees.
That's like mushrooms, but they're not mushrooms.
They're not. They're a fungus, like the same way that a mushroom is a fungus, but they are not a mushroom. But there is no one has successfully cultivated white truffles, only black truffles.
And for years, pigs were used to hunt down the truffles. You say that's now illegal in Italy?
That's right. It's been made illegal. Now it's dogs. They use dogs. You know, what happened, Leonard, is the pigs got smart. And they started finding the truffles and then eating them before the humans could get a hold of them. And they said, well, we got to change this.
And the dogs will just find them and say, pet me now?
I think the dogs are more obedient. The dogs are more interested in pleasing the humans.
And how are the truffles shipped to the United States? This is a product that starts deteriorating almost immediately after it's dug out of the ground.
Well, that's right. That's one of the most interesting things about a guy like Ian. He sets out. He gets a shipment in the morning from a JFK airport from Europe, and he is on the clock because truffles are almost entirely water. And when they sit out, the water over time evaporates, and they lose weight. And their weight is their value. And so he is under the gun because every day that goes, literally at every red light that he gets stopped at driving through Manhattan, it's almost as if cash is falling out of his pocket.
Can a lot of things go wrong in transit? Bugs?
Absolutely.
Rot?
Yes. When every time Ian, you know, you hear it in this episode of The Sporkful, when he opens up the box from Europe, it's like he's holding his breath because he doesn't know exactly what he's going to find. How good is this shipment going to be? Will there be bugs? Will there be any kind of deterioration? He also has to deal with customs. If customs inspects a box and finds even one bug, they could hold up the shipment for a whole day, and then he's losing money.
Does that make one of the reasons why his product is much more expensive than a smuggler's? Smugglers aren't going through customs.
That's right. And also smugglers, you don't know where they're getting their truffles from. Some of them get them from a place, let's say like a Croatia, where they might not have the same amount of flavor. And then what they'll do is that they'll spray a synthetic powder onto these truffles that are more akin to potatoes to give them the aroma, and then they'll try to pass them off as Italian truffles.
How much does Ian pay for a typical shipment?
I mean, he will get $10,000 or $20,000 in a box. The day I was with him, he got about $40,000 worth of truffles.
And his profit margins for that?
His profit margins are relatively slim. He now is down to about 10% margin on white truffles. He makes a little more on black truffles, but in part because of the smugglers and because of the competition, he used to make 18% to 20% margin on white truffles.
I'm speaking with Dan Pashman of our Sporkful podcast. The one we're discussing is A Trunkful of Truffles, and you can find it at iTunes or at WNYC.org. His business is a race against time. How long does he have to sell his truffles before they start really going bad?
Well, I mean, he tries to do it all in one day.
But then they've got to sit in the restaurant for a little while as well.
Well, right, but his concern is at the moment that he sells the truffles, they get weighed. Mm-hmm. They get weighed, and the price is determined by the weight. Once they're sold to the restaurant, of course, he wants them to be happy with them, but he's gotten his money. He's not losing value. He also ships across the country. So the day we were with him, he's making these deliveries to restaurants all over New York City, and then he's also taking orders on his phone. His last stop that night was actually back at JFK Airport to the FedEx office by the airport, where he was packaging truffles for some of the finest restaurants in Chicago and LA and San Francisco, literally, you know, with packing tape out of the trunk of his car. I mean, the next night you could have been at Alinea in Chicago eating the truffles that were packed in Ian's car.
Alinea being the most highly rated restaurant in America these days. Mm-hmm. What does he do with the leftovers if he can't make them on time, if they start going bad?
Well, he has a sort of a secondary business where he makes truffle oil, which he makes real truffle oil by actually infusing oil with real truffles. Most truffle oil on the market is synthetic. It's not made with real truffles.
And it tastes like it, too.
Right.
So he makes all of his money in a very brief time. What does he do with the rest of the year?
Well, he does do other kinds of exotic mushrooms. He does black truffles throughout the year. But because white truffles are so prized and it's such a big part of his season, so this is overwhelmingly the most intense time of the year. And the rest of the year, it's a little slower. But Ian's a pretty driven kind of guy. I don't think he sleeps much any time of year.
I was some years ago, I was at a restaurant where they offered truffles by weight. They would shave the truffles onto a scale and then put it on pasta or whatever the dish was. And you paid according to whether you got an ounce or whatever the weight was, which really made it feel like a drug deal. But how do restaurants price their truffles?
Yeah, so first I want to know, Leonard, how many truffles did you get that night?
Well, luckily I wasn't paying.
So you said, keep it coming.
It was, well, everybody wanted to have a little taste anyway.
Sure.
But a little bit goes a long way with truffles.
You're right, it does. And so in a typical restaurant serving, you will have 4 to 5 grams of truffle. 5 grams.
I guess we're paying by the gram.
Probably. And 5 grams is the weight of a nickel. To put it in perspective. So, and a 5 gram serving is a lot. And a restaurant will pay $22 to $25 for that 5 gram serving. And then they will typically charge you 3 to 4 times that much for the finished dish.
So they're charging a lot more than Ian charges them.
There is a big market, but I do want to say in defense of the restaurants, I understand that to the average diner that might sound like, whoa, 3 or 4 times as much, that's a huge markup. But the standard calculation in the restaurant industry is calculate how much the actual food in the dish costs and triple it. And that is what the menu price will be, because you also got to pay rent, you got to pay for staff, insurance, et cetera.
You and Tracy Vanek Smith of NPR's Planet Money, she was your collaborator on this story, go out for a truffle cheeseburger, which is sort of gratuitous, but you say it might be of good value anyway. And she seemed to be slightly unaware of the truffle mystique, and you had to convince her that the truffles are actually worth eating.
Yeah, she had never had truffles before, and I have not had them that many times, but I'm certainly a fan. And so we got them on this burger. As some people said, like you said, they said, oh, you shouldn't put truffles on a burger because it's going to overpower the taste of the truffles. And that's fair, but I also feel like...
Oh, I was hoping it would overpower the taste of the burger.
Well, it made the burger so much more rich and decadent than any burger you can imagine. But it's $68, which on one hand you say $68 for a truffle a burger is crazy. On the other hand, that same 5 grams of truffles on a pasta dish in an Italian restaurant would have cost you $90. And so it's a pretty good deal, I say.
And Tracy wonders why a high-end restaurant can charge $80 to $90 for buttered noodles with some tiny truffle shavings on top. She says that's basically the equivalent of baby food.
Right, right, right.
But you told her that that truffles taste like dirty socks in a good way. Is that a convincing argument?
It was once she had tasted them. I mean, so in this episode, we also spoke to a smell scientist to try to understand exactly what is the deal, because it is a truly unique flavor and smell that truffles have.
It has a chemical that you find in body odor, sweat, and urine.
Right, it's called androstenone, and it is in and so we do come out with the theory that perhaps one of the reasons why, and there are very, very few foods that contain androstenone. So we come out with this theory that perhaps part of what draws us to it is that there's something deeply, viscerally human about the experience of smelling a truffle. I mean, studies have shown we choose our mates in many ways by smell. And so why not have an especially strong physical attraction to a food based on it having a unique smell?
And the scientist, Avery Gilbert, studies the psychology of truffles or the chemistry of truffles?
Well, the chemistry and psychology of smells and sense and senses.
And he has a theory that the mystique and cost of a truffle might enhance our enjoyment of it. So is he saying that because it's so expensive, we like it more?
Well, this is where we get a little deep, all right, Leonard, because, you
I'm
know,
not sure I agree with that.
Well, let's talk about it. So I'll make my case. You tell me what you think, okay? Traditionally, we think of taste as being something that happens on your tongue and in your nose. But increasingly, there's research that shows that, in fact, taste is something that happens in your brain, taking in input from your tongue and your nose, but also from all other factors, the background music, the mood you're in that day. And
the lighting.
Yes, the lighting. All of these things will affect how something tastes. Low-pitched music makes chocolate taste more bitter. High-pitched music makes it taste more sweet. And as well, the cost. When you know that something is very expensive and highly prized, you are more likely to say that it tastes better. If your brain tells you, yes, this was worth it, yes, this tastes better, because I know that it's so expensive, if taste is indeed processed in your brain, doesn't that mean that if your brain says something tastes good, it inherently tastes good?
I know I've heard this argument with wine as well, but to be honest, you can tell the difference between a good wine and a bad wine. It doesn't matter what the price is. Some wines are more pleasant than others. And truffles, as far as I'm concerned, are a great delicacy. I don't know if I'm willing to spend $90 for a pasta with truffles, but if somebody else is paying, I'd be very happy.
But if they started putting truffles on a Big Mac and selling it for $5 down the street,
I'd buy it. But I would worry about whether the truffles actually had been brought by smugglers.
Right,
are there
right.
These people just walking around with thousands of dollars worth of truffles in a backpack?
Absolutely. I mean, when now Ian is established in his field, he's got a car. He's high end now. When he started out, he would literally fill a backpack with $20,000 worth of truffles at the airport. Granted, he was not a smuggler, but still, he could easily have passed for one. He would hop on the C train or the A train at JFK Airport, ride into the city. He said he'd clear out an entire subway car because he smelled because of the smell. And yes, they walk amongst us.
And I guess some restaurants see a bargain there and others see an illegal act that they'd be involved in.
One of the things that I found surprising about this is that a lot of chefs themselves, who you would think would know a lot about truffles, don't know very much. And so that is why they are sometimes easily fooled by smugglers who might take a low quality truffle and spray it with something.
And how does Ian find his customers?
Well, he's been doing it now a long time. A lot of his customers he's had for many years, but it's a lot of it is through word of mouth, through connections, and so yeah.
And what about Tracy Vanek Smith? Did you convince her? Does she like truffles now?
Yes. She is a huge fan. I mean, I don't know the next time she's going to, I don't know how long it'll be before she spends $68 on a cheeseburger, but she was absolutely, absolutely converted.
Does Ian have a lot of legal competition? Are there a lot of other truffle dealers? I'd imagine that there are food distributors that specialize in these kinds of products. The same people who sell chanterelles and morels and other rare mushroom and fungus items.
There are a few bigger companies than Ian, but not that many, because it is still, the process for procuring truffles is still so specialized, and the networks, especially for white truffles, are so relatively small that it's hard to scale up for a large company that would need to have many, many pounds of truffles, you know, on a moment's notice, and the supply is just not that. Like, at the end of the day, you're still relying on some guy in Italy to walk into the forest with his dog and find the truffles for you, and so it's hard to scale.
Are we past truffle season now?
No. It continues to the end of the year. In fact, New Year's Eve is the single biggest night of the year for white truffles.
Mm. Meanwhile, we have a link to the episode on our show page at WNYC.org/Lopate. So there are lots of different ways people can access this really fun podcast that you did called A Trunkful of Truffles. You can get it through our show page. You can also get it on iTunes. And you can also get it at WNYC.org. Dan, as always, it's been a lot of fun talking with you. And my only regret is you didn't bring any samples.
Next time, Leonard, cheeseburgers.